Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
Yeah, you are.
And today it is episode 44 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Scourge.
This episode was written by Kenji Sugihara, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Sideways and Soundwave revealed themselves to be allies while Leo Breaker and Snarl got their asses kicked by Scourge. And on this episode, Scourge is, I guess, on an elevator thinking about Leo Breaker and Snarl.
Yeah, thinking about what Leo Breaker said to him, that it takes more to be a leader than strength, and the more about he thinks about that, the more aggravated he gets, and he starts punching the walls, and there's boxes in the elevator with him. He starts hitting those, and he's just mad. He's like, oh, strength is all I have.
Yeah, and he insists that that will rebuild his homeworld, even though he knows, like he has stated, he knows this black hole is a thing and an issue. And that he had a plan, but he doesn't seem to have a plan. Anyway, we go back to the surface, and Evac and Kobe have found Leo Breaker and Snarl, who are unconscious, but seem to be okay.
Yep, and Lori's on the Genesis 6-button controller communicator thing, and she's mad at hell at Scourge. Oh, wait till she gets her hands on him, and Kobe, just after, I guess after she hangs up, she's like, you know, it's kind of awesome that Lori just dissed a fire-breathing dragon, and boy, I'm glad she's on our side.
Yeah, we're continuing this whole thing of, like, Lori's a dangerous threat, look out for her. Wait till she meets Scourge again later and all the anger she's going to spill on him. Oh, wait, there's none. Anyway, then Optimus is like, hey, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah. He explains, you know, Leo Breaker and Snarl fine. And then says, how close are we to our destination? And he tells her it's another couple levels.
Yep, and now, for some reason, Bud has organized the mini-cons into some kind of team, and Metroplex is like, sure, and the lad's a born leader, Mr. Optimus. It's like, what?
They even call him Commander Bud. And then they march. They're like, hey, we're going to go through this door, and we're going to scout the next area or whatever. So they go through this door, and when they do, and they're walking down this hallway, they find, like, wall carvings, I guess, of other mini-cons.
Yeah, or like a mural.
Yeah.
And they stand up against them, like, just to, you know, measure their size. Hey, look, they're mini-cons just like us. But when Bud moves, did you notice the mini-con that was on the wall behind him? It's Highwire from Armada.
I did not notice that. I kind of wasn't paying a lot of attention to the minor details because, Paul, this would be classified as a what-the-fuck episode.
Oh, yes, it is definitely going to get to that point.
And on the what-the-fuck level, Lori continues her string of, I don't know if you'd call it good luck or bad luck or just coincidence, where she's, like, Bud's talking and she leans into him and puts an arm on the wall, or hand on the wall, and just happens to press the invisible hidden button that opens the wall behind Bud, and he and the mini-cons all fall down like a chute.
Yeah, it's like some kind of secret panel or thing that opens up, and in they go, and she yells down after him, but Optimus stops her from going in after them, saying, oh, it might be too dangerous, who knows what might be down there.
So we go to the Cybertron defense team, who are riding along one of these highways, and they run into Galvatron and Menasor.
Yeah, they're just talking to each other. They don't even see the Autobots coming. They're just standing on an overpass, and Hotshot says, Galvatron's really getting on his nerves. I'm like, you haven't even seen Galvatron in 2 episodes, man. He hasn't been doing shit to you. But either way, Galvatron sees him now. He's like, oh, you want another good thrashing like you had the other day? All right, fine with me anytime you want to go.
Even though, like, he did, I think he knocked the Cybertron defense team sideways, but, like, he got his ass stomped, literally stomped by Metroplex.
But, yeah, he's all set to go for round 2 with these guys, at least. And this time, they're ready for him. But Menasor wants to go with them first. I think he says something like, oh, you won't mind if I get in a good thrashing or some stupid thing. Why do they talk like that?
I really don't know, because there was a decision, a choice, to make everybody on Gigantion a poor impersonation of a Scottish accent. Every one of them. But we go back to Lori and the Autobots, and Metroplex goes on about how, oh, you found a mini... You found a mini-cod passage there. Ha-ta-toy-ta-toy-ta-toy.
Yes. He's talking about it like it's a Fraggle hole or something. You never know where they might pop up, and it's where the wee folk go. And, oh, my Lord.
Apparently, it's all lore. There is so much lore on this planet that comes up at the most convenient time and could have been mentioned a couple episodes ago, but there was one moment I really liked here where Lori's like, I have to go save Bud because it's my fault, and Optimus is like, whoa. I let them walk ahead. You know, like, everybody's responsible. We are a team here, so we're going to hold back and work as a team. good Optimus line.
Yeah, we'll find another way and we'll all go after them together. The last thing we need is you. Who knows what they landed in, right? We can't have you landing in that too. And then Wingding asks where the passage goes anyway, and then Metroplex tells him, as the rumors have it. And then it goes to Bud, who finishes the sentence, because Metroplex starts his story. A Minicon City!
Old Minicon City, they say, which would imply the existence of new Minicon City, but that's too dumb to think about. Bud and the Minicons, yeah, they're in Old Minicon City, and now Jolt's like, oh yeah, I heard about this! For some reason, never mentioned it in the previous 43 episodes.
And also, yeah, they're in this, you know, Old Minicon, it's a city, it's big, like a city, but it's everything sized for Minicons, and they're nowhere near the bottom of the passage that they slid down. But yeah, Jolt goes on about how he's heard this, and it's been abandoned for hundreds and hundreds of years, and then Six-Speed beeps something that Bud translates, not Jolt, Bud translates, as there being a museum here somewhere.
Yeah, because the Minicons didn't erase their own history like the Gigantians did. Now, we're going to get into the playground in a bit, but when this was happening, I started to develop a theory about this show. I really think that a lot of the backgrounds we're seeing where it's just like we're in a park, we're in a tiny little town, we're in a playground, whatever, were just drawings and artwork from other shows. That whatever studio was making this in Japan was like, look, we got to cut some serious corners here because these last two series were hot garbage.
Yeah.
So we're not getting a big budget. So just, oh, hey, use the playground from this, I don't know, whatever show.
It looks like stuff from Armada.
It kind of does.
You can kind of picture the kids in the Minicons, especially that episode where they all go to the circus, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, when Hotshot was on a balloon or something. But anyway, we go back to Lori and she's all worried about Bud. But then we cut to Bud in this museum who's looking at stuff and seems really excited, but all the stuff they show when he's looking at it just looks like pieces of metal.
Yeah, and like half of it's broken.
Yeah, it doesn't look
but,
like anything.
Jolt has discovered what we already know from Samway's story from last time, that the Transformers here were once the same size as the Autobots, but increased their size to fight Planet X. But once they got that done, they were too big to fix their computers, so the Minicons were forced.
Forced.
Bud says the word forced.
Yeah.
But, and Jolt doesn't correct them, to do the detail work, and centuries of doing that is what made their brains similar to human brains.
Sure, that makes sense. Let's pretend that makes sense. I do like this bit, though, where Jolt is like, hey, don't you remember Red Alert saying that? And Bud's like, no, I don't really remember anything. I try to only remember the important stuff. And Jolt says, so are you going to forget this conversation? And Bud's like, yeah.
I think he says something like, I guarantee it. Yeah, fuck, I laughed. That was good. That was very good Bud right there.
But it was very good Bud.
They're going to keep on exploring. And back on the surface, the Autobots all gang up on Menasor, who seems to be a pretty even match for them. But the Autobots jump to three separate rooftops. And when the camera kind of pans around here from Menasor's point of view, it just shows all three of them standing on three different buildings. I thought that was really well done. I don't think we've seen that before in this show. But then they do their triangle attack, they call it, which is just them doing their regular cyber key power attacks at the same time.
But they don't call it a triangle attack. They call it a triangle attack. They put the emphasis on angle. It sounds weird. But yeah, they shoot at him. I think they were trying to say triangulate. And again, the block of wood just doesn't know how to write anything. But yeah, they all cyber attack and they shoot at him. And this explosion is ginormous.
Oh, it takes out half the city. It looks like it does anyway. But when the smoke clears, the only thing it really hit was Metasaur, but yeah. He goes down.
He actually says, that'll do. I don't know if this was a Babe Pig in the City reference, but he's like, that'll do. And he falls. And Galvatron is kind of unimpressed by this.
Yeah, he's just calmly standing there watching this with his arms folded. And now it's his turn, I guess. And he reminds him, look, I've already defeated you guys twice before. So I guess it's time to finish the job.
And then we go to Bud and the Minicons who are going to the, quote, Minicon playground. Oh, boy.
Oh, and then Jolt even tells Bud that there's supposedly an amusement park down here somewhere, too. And Bud's like, oh, I get it. If you have, like, human kid brains, you need to play like human kids, too.
Yeah, and Jolt's like, no, we just use the backgrounds from a different show, so we have to have a playground or an amusement park. But anyway, they go to this amusement park, and there are giant claw mark. Oh, no, we don't see the claw marks yet. We just see the amusement park destroyed and commercial break.
And when we come back, Jolt finds claw marks that he says are still fresh. So that means the monster's still around. And because flying them back out the chute they came down to get here is out of the question. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to do it at all. Jolt starts panicking. And now Bud has a stomach ache. And the Minicons all run to him like, hey, you all right?
Yeah, it turns out this stomach ache is fine. So Bud lied. Just remember, he lied. and he's like, oh, I just had to get your attention. So they leave. They turn to leave and they bump right into Scourge, who's like, hey. Actually, he wonders if Lori is there. I don't know why he's so scared of her. But he's like, hey, I saw that what you did there, how you lied to your friends. Good leadership. Lying.
Yes. And when the Minicons see Scourge, they start losing their shit. But Bud's like, it's just Scourge. Calm down. Lori said, don't worry about him. Remember? And Scourge is like, wait a damn minute here. Just Scourge? Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's where he's like, Lori, what? Is she here too? Shit, is she here?
And then Bud offers a lesson in leadership, and he's immediately got a chalkboard, and they're all sitting for this outdoor lesson in the playground.
Yes.
And, okay, I guess we're going to get back to the lesson, because right now we go to the Cybertron defense team who is attacking Galvatron.
Yeah, they use their triangle attack on Galvatron and lift him up off the ground with it and just keep smashing him with this thing, and he's up in the air, and then just drop him. But then he just stands back up and laughs at them.
Yeah, he glows for a half a second and says, I've been reborn. Okay, whatever. so we go back to Bud. And I don't know, what's the word you would use for this lesson plan Bud has? Is it stupid or fucking stupid? It's one of the two.
It is definitely somewhere on that continuum. It reminded me of Beast Wars, where Cheetor is teaching the kids about like simple machines
totally
or something. Remember that one?
Yeah.
But yeah, the first question is, it's the old, like, if you have five apples and X number of monsters, how do you divide it up and you make applesauce? Like, remember that in the Sesame Street dictionary? Yeah, it doesn't matter. But yeah, there's six treasures among five people. And Scourge is like, well, it's obvious the strongest should get the two treasures. And Bud says, no. Everybody gets one. And the sixth treasure is to pay for the next treasure hunt.
And then the next question made me want to rip my ears out so I don't have to listen to any more of Bud's lesson plan. So if these five treasure hunters only have four beds, where do they sleep? And Scourge is like, oh, the weakest sleeps in the floor. And Bud's like, oh, no, they use the tent and the five sleeping bags that they apparently brought.
Yes.
What?
Well, Scourge is like, well, hold on a minute. You didn't say I could just make shit up. And then Bud has a line like, well, my father, who we have met, told him to always think outside the box.
No, he didn't.
No, Bud and Kobe's father reminds me more of the father of Kevin McDonald's character in Brain Candy, also played by Kevin McDonald. Like, the guy's like, what about the gun? Did you get the gun?
the gun?
That's a good boy.
Yeah, it's very Bud, his answers, where it's silly and goofy, but it's stupid. Like, he's giving answers that don't relate to the confines of the question.
Yeah.
yeah, stupid. But somehow this helps Scourge realize his own shortcomings.
Well, yeah, because Bud's like, well, that's the whole point, man. You got to think outside the box. And Scourge thinks, yeah, it's the best thing ever. And now Wang Dang and Lori are here interrupting the class. Bud tells him, like, you're interrupting, raise your hand if you want to speak or something like that. And Bud has Scourge tell her what he's learned, which he says are leadership techniques.
And Lori doesn't seem to even acknowledge Scourge. She's just like, oh, hey, Bud. Like, she never turns to him, doesn't talk to him. I don't know why. There should have been an interaction between these two. But then the rest of Optimus Prime's team, like Override and Vector Prime and him, they all show up. And Scourge challenges them all to a duel, and Lori says, oh, this is something Scourge needs to do, even though he just learned to, whatever.
Yeah, like, this is kind of a 180 for her character, isn't it? Because the last time she was going up him, but down one side, up one side, down the other, and now it's just like, oh, it's just something he needs to do. But now it's sundown, I guess, so much for the big hurry to find the Cyber Planet key. And the first to challenge Scourge will be Metroplex, who absolutely flattens him with one punch, and you'd think that'd be it, but Scourge sits up and goes, all right, who's next?
Yeah, and then Vector...
What?
yeah, and then Vector Prime does the same thing twice, knocks him down, Scourge stands up, and then he kicks his ass again, and then Override's like, okay, I want next, like, I'm gonna get him next.
Yeah, she steps forward, I guess she wants to finish what she started the other day, or what they got into the other day, but Optimus stops her, he's going to face Scourge next, and just to make good and damn sure that that mosquito is good and fucking dead, he's gonna get an even bigger sledgehammer, and he and Wang Dang combine.
Yeah, this, I don't understand what the point of this is. Like, it feels I don't know, dear listener, if you read Fight Club, didn't watch the movie, but I'm talking about the book. There's a scene where the narrator like realizes he has to face everybody and have them beat him to death because it's like there's a whole thing. The book is way better than the movie. Pretentious alert, but it is. And it feels like that, where he's just like, all right, fine, I'm going to take you on and I want you to hurt me. I don't understand why, but that seems to be what Scourge is going for, that he's like, I don't know, atoning for something.
Well, yeah, Optimus is like, what he wants is to fight the most powerful Autobot, which is him, in his most powerful form, which is Sonic Wing Mode, right? So they square off, and Scourge is already damaged from his first two fights. Like, he's sparking and smoking. And
yeah, Bud why is he fighting the most powerful Autobot if he's already damaged? And if
what
if
do fucking, you have to prove?
Yeah, if Metroplex knocked you down and then Vector Prime knocked you down, what are you proving by fighting Optimus? You already got beat by not the strongest.
But yeah, Bud thinks this is pointless. But I think Lori should be the one flipping out about how this is pointless, because she was always going on before, oh, why are boys so fucking stupid and all they want to do is fight and always have to prove this and all the things we've come to know from her. But she tells Bud, this is about honor. Like, what?
Yeah, there's nothing about this fight that led me to think it was about honor. But then Optimus and Scourge do that thing we've seen many times in this series where they charge each other, run past, and they stand back to back, and then Scourge goes, and falls over.
Yeah, but I love how it shows the sun going down while they do this. So, like, if they sped that up, did they actually just stand there for 20 minutes or whatever it would have been? But Scourge is like, I don't think I can walk no more. Don't be sore. Just give me 10 minutes. But no, he goes down. But the Autobots leave him, and Bud thinks it would have been cool to have him on their team.
And then cut to Scourge still laying on the ground laughing. Like, this is, you wanted him on your team, but you kicked the shit out of him and then just left him laying on the ground to die, I guess.
Because that's what he wanted, you think?
It's the Autobot way!
And back with Galvatron and the others, the fight I'd rather have watched is over, and if you think keeping... If you've been keeping score at home, it's Galvatron 3, Autobot Zip now, and he walks away carrying Menasor over his shoulders, but he admits the Autobots put up a good fight.
But where are they? Because it doesn't really look like Gigantion. It looks like the Fire Dimension planet,
yeah,
wherever they've been before.
All the smoke.
It's just stone rubble, not metal. It's stone rubble. There's fire everywhere and just smoke and burning in the background, but whatever.
Last time, Soundwave explained that the inhabitants of Gigantion used their cyber planet key to become giant when Planet X attacked, and they could have left well enough alone. But then Jolt tells Bud his version of the story, and just like Bud, I have questions. Bud asks him if the Minicons were shrunk down, and Jolt answers him with something that would make most people ask the question in the first place. All of the Transformers on Gigantion were like the Autobots, but they had to increase their size. Well, that's great, doesn't really answer the question. So Bud asks him again, what about the Minicons, Bud? Stupid, just skips right over it again and says, they did the detail work. You didn't answer the fucking question, Jolt, twice. So why didn't the Minicons increase in size? Maybe they did increase in size, but back in the day, they were only a couple feet tall, just little guys. Or maybe they were always the size they are now and got skipped over when it came time to become larger. Only so much room in the machine to make them bigger. I don't know. Except Gigantion and everything on it got larger, so it wouldn't make sense if the Minicons didn't increase in size too. And who was doing all the detail work before they were all giants if they were all the same size? It couldn't have been the Minicons, because Jolt explains it as if it being something new to them. Why couldn't whoever that was doing it keep doing it? Oh, you're twice as large now? Well, so was
the... Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. This episode was Scourge. Paul, what was mighty about this episode?
All the bits with Galvatron and the Cybertron defense team. I like that. What little we saw, I did like that, especially where it shows it from Menasor's point of view when he's looking at these guys on top of the building. That was really cool.
Yeah, good job.
The little bit of fight that we did see, that was really cool, especially where these guys come up with their new trick. It was basically just using their own abilities, just shooting from three angles. And then where you see Galvatron walking away, carrying Menasor, this huge friggin' Transformer on his shoulder like it's nothing. Like, that was really good, but... not that great an episode.
Yeah, no, not a great episode. Very much a what the fuck episode. And that, you know, often I just was sitting here going, what the fuck? But I liked Bud being Bud. He was fun, even if it didn't make sense.
Yeah, Bud was all right.
And I really liked Optimus, his kind of lesson to Lori of like, hey, yes, you know what? You're right. You did, you know, partly was your fault that Bud fell down this thing, but it was my fault too. It was everybody's fault.
Yeah, I let them go ahead, right?
Yeah, we work together as a team because we make mistakes as a team. That was a very good Optimus moment. I like that.
But the whole bit with Scourge at the end, I mean, maybe something was lost in translation. Maybe this makes perfect sense in Japanese culture. I don't know. I'll be the first to admit I am not super familiar with it, but...
Wait, you're not Japanese?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm not Japanese either, but I am ready to watch the next episode with Paul, and that episode is going to be Optimus. If you want to send an optimal email, you can by emailing the show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, whatever you listen to Vapors with, and tell your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com, and until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. Lori, what? Is she here too? Shit, is she here?